March 27, 2024, it's a Watt from Pedro show.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show. Happy Wednesday. Started off the show with John Coltrane and some other unknown people. I think this was Joe Brazil's dad who went on, quiet over there, who went on to record that Love Supreme Live in Seattle. But this is when he lived in Detroit. Anyway, Woody and You, Private Jam in Detroit, 1958. John Coltrane used to cock there on tour, I think, with him. And Earl Valley after that with My Baby's Broomstick. Because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I'm happy to bring you all this fucking noise. And Brother Earl Valley, welcome aboard, Brother Earl.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, well, how's it going? Well, there's a Watt from Pedro show edition that's going down right now with you aboard. That's how it's going. Now, I got to meet you and your bandmates sharing the stage or the deck at the Firehouse Outpost in Joshua Tree.
Yeah, that's right.
And I told you that I wanted you on the show because I dug what you guys are doing.
All right, thanks.
But let's learn about your music journey since you sent me a lot of your stuff. Please, Earl, bring your earliest musical memory. Remember, it's a Watt for Pedro show, so there's no wrong answers. There's no hard questions.
Yeah, I think probably like my parents had a... Well, my grandpa gave me an acoustic guitar that I didn't play for a really long time. And then I had a... There was a drum in the house with a busted head when I was growing up.
That's your earliest musical memory. Okay, let me ask you this. What was the first record you bought with your own money?
Oh, okay. That I bought?
With your own money. You know, when you're a kid, you ain't got a lot of money, so that's why I asked.
Yeah, I think with my own money was probably Green Day Dookie or Pearl Jam 10. I can't really remember.
And what was the first gig you saw?
Gig I saw was Lorena McKennitt.
Okay. And you said there was a guitar and a broken drum head at the pad. So there was musical instruments in the pad you grew up.
There was, yeah. There were, my grandpa gave me a guitar. You know, John's been playing, all these people have been playing a lot more and longer than me. I don't know. What was your first instrument?
Well, I mean, I played guitar first because my dad did, I guess.
And that's John Nielsen there talking.
Okay, let me ask you. Yeah, but let's keep the focus because people don't know you guys, so let's keep it to you first, okay? And that, if you want me to talk with John about that, I'd be happy to. I think everybody's got their own individual paths, but then we come together when we do stuff like bands.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So what about school, Earl? Were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
No, nothing like that. I always just sang, you know? I always just sang along to the radio, and I sent, or what else did I do?
I asked that about school, because a lot of schools closed their arts department. They said that they need it and shit like that.
Yeah, I'm a visual artist, too, so I do, like, I do drawings under the name Earl's Pearls.
Yeah.
And do some tattooing, and so I was always more of a drawer than a music guy.
Sure, but still, it's an expression.
I kind of took a turn, like, in my 30s, when I turned 30, I think, like, kind of focusing on music and stuff.
Ah, and, so you're like a kind of a late, you know, Vincent painted only his last 10 years. Not everybody has to be a kid prodigy, you know. I think you can get into artistic expression no matter which how. At whatever age.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think so.
So what do you think did it? What turns you towards music?
I had, I was on, I lived up in the mountains for a while, and I wrote, like, one or two songs. And then when I moved to Joshua Tree, I got some, like, support from friends to kind of push that. And that's what I pushed it for, you know, years. And, you know.
Do you remember those first songs you wrote?
Yeah, sure. I still play them from time to time. I just played them at a open mic that one of them, open mic that John was hosting.
Okay, and did you write them like on guitar?
Yeah, I wrote them on guitar. I was listening to a ton of Townes Van Zandt and just like
Townes Van Zandt.
Yeah, and I just
Poncho and Lefty. Wow. Yeah, that guy wrote some great songs.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We lost him way too, well, I guess he was a little, hard on his life. Yeah, a little bit.
He was a drinker for sure.
A little bit. And his boy too, right? We just lost him.
Oh, we did?
Yeah, about two years ago, I think. He was trying, you know, but maybe it's in the genes. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, do you remember, so you just did him again open night. Do you remember the first time you played in front of people?
Well, kind of. I mean, I had a bunch of weird little projects. I lived in San Francisco for a minute, and I had a bunch of, a kind of noise rock project there, and, like, I was in a band in Columbus, Ohio, where I'm from, called Hills, and we were kind of screamer band, had, like, really fast screamer band. So, you know, I was kind of used to it. I think one of those shows was probably the first time I, like, performed in front of people, though, the Hills stuff.
And what was it like? You know, because Drawn, you know, my best friend Raymond Pettibone, he's a visual artist. And it's such a lonely way of expressing yourself, you know? I mean, there's some collaborations, but if you compare that with working a crowd, you know, playing with a band in front of gig-goers.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons, you know, I wanted to switch to music, too, because it seemed to, like, if you have, like, an act or a project that can encompass so many friends, and it's way less, you know, a band is a gang, and it's like,
yeah.
Which is, you know, why I want to be in a band more than I want to do solo stuff, because, you know, I was doing my solo stuff for so long, and then, like, I don't want to, like, have all the control over everything. I want to, like, work on things and create things with other people, and that's, because you get way more, I don't know, I get way more satisfaction out of that. Like, the end results are always, you know, they're less self-involved.
What about this stuff you gave me, my baby's broomstick, and I want to play this Hollow Skies next.
Oh, okay.
Is John on there?
John is on there. John's playing guitar on there.
Okay.
So, like,
let me play this stuff, and we're going to come back, and we're going to learn about John's early music adventure, journey.
Close, smoking, tired, and fall.
Thank you. there's nothing to say. The truth of a lifetime messed up every day. You said it'll be alright, but that was all in my mind, lady. Love, come return into this tiny good night. Not of the charm, the wires of poison attached to your arm. The peace is broke, you miss this rose. Cause now that you're gone, you wear clothes. You said it'll be alright, but that was all in my lady. Love, come return to this tiny goodnight.
Dancing close to you and your stunning thighs and piercing bed.
Pedro Show. That chunk of music started off Earl Valley with Hollow Skies, Tom Bloom, brand new from Tom, Duality One, Argyle. This is out of Barcelona. Some Chile guys, right? Avanti forward, right? Everybody, everything forward. Ray Shin after that, Self-Love and 12 Easy Steps. Woo with Xylophonics 2. Torn Boys, Lady Luck. And then Earl Valley with Prom. Okay, John, please bring your earliest music memory.
Probably just like listening to my dad play guitar. My sister, I had two older sisters, and they got me into going to punk shows. So they took me to Fugazi. Well, that was like the first punk show I went to.
What about first music show?
That was the first one.
Okay. Because, you know, that genre shit, I grew out of that stuff. Music is music for me. Not to put anybody down, but I'm just tired of that shit. Can I ask you, what was the first record you bought with your own money, John?
It was Led Zeppelin at this head shop.
Which Led Zeppelin?
I still have it. Yeah,
the first album?
The fourth record.
Oh, number four. I think there's no writing on the cover. It's just that guy with the fucking sticks, right? I had an 8-track of that.
Yeah.
Sticks. So let me ask you this. At school, were you in the marching band or the choir, shit like that?
I was in, I played trombone.
Oh, the bone, that's bass clef.
Yeah, yeah. I couldn't read music, but I could follow along to the guy next to me pretty good.
Yeah, big mouthpiece too. I heard it was easier to march with.
Yeah, and, well, I didn't march. I wasn't in the marching band.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe that's better, especially if you were out in the desert. Jesus. Oh, I mean, where did you grow up?
I grew up in South Dakota.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. You know who's from South Dakota? Or maybe it's North Dakota. One of the Dakotas is Randy from the Alley Cats.
Okay.
If you want to know, it's a fellow Dakotan. You know, you said your pop playing guitar was some of your earliest music memories. So there was instruments in that pad you grew up in South Dakota?
For sure, yeah. I couldn't really play them for a long time.
That's all right.
He was pretty particular. No, he was just like really particular about his stuff. So
like don't fucking buses.
So, how did I fucked up every instrument I've had.
So did you end up learning on your own, or did you take lessons? Or?
He taught me. I did take lessons for a little bit, but mostly just listened to music and learned the songs and shit.
Like trying to copy songs off records. That's what me and D. Boone did.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what was the first... I'm not talking about graduating school, but like in the afternoon, you got out of school, garage band, basement band, bedroom band.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I started doing it.
Because your sisters took you to that gig, right? And were you like, I want to do this. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the punk scene in Rapid City, South Dakota was really cool.
I played Rapid City once. That's by the river in the east. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like punk in like a style or a kind of music. It was just like literally any weirdo that lived in that town would go.
That's how it was in the 70s punk, actually.
Yeah. So I felt really lucky to, just like any exploration in music was fair game. So, I was trying to play shows immediately, like not knowing how to play.
That's all right. And what was your first band called?
Well, that's kind of hard to say. It was either the PP Sandwiches, or it could have been Hellboy, but I'm not sure.
Okay. Do you remember the first gig you did with one of those bands?
Actually, it might have been Carol Burnett.
Okay, Carol Burnett. Do you remember the first Carol Burnett gig?
Yeah, I do. It was at a park. That was a mess. That was a mess. We also played a high school battle of the bands. And a friend of mine, it was a pretty disturbing show. A friend of mine just showed up and started throwing bones into the audience.
Bones?
That he had collected.
What, like chicken bones? Or?
Bird bones and all kinds
of stuff. Bird bones. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Tell me about the material. Were you writing stuff, or were you guys copying songs?
We were writing songs for sure.
Oh, bitch. Do you remember the first song you wrote?
Kind of. I remember parts of it, yeah. I kind of lost a lot of the music that I had. I haven't been good at archiving stuff.
And you didn't have, like, a 4-track? You weren't, like, recording yourself yet?
Oh, I did, for sure.
Oh, you did?
I lost that 4-track.
Oh, man. Did you do a lot of sound-on-sound stuff?
Yeah, for sure. I used to use a tape deck, and then I put it into another tape deck, and then I put it back into the other one. And I thought, like, oh, I'm a fucking genius.
Like, Les Paul, right?
This is how this shit works.
No, I met Les Paul, and he told me all about when he just started that with Mary Ford. Yeah, they made a whole album with just them two.
That stuff is amazing.
And that was back in the 50s, right? Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So, standing on the shoulders of giants. But you don't have any of that stuff left. Damn. Well.
I do have some of it. I mean, I've got hundreds of stuff on the shelves. You know, okay. Hundreds of tracks.
How long did you stay in Cedar Rapids?
It was Rapid City.
Rapid City, I'm sorry. There. I fucked up the wrong Dakota.
That's cool. You know, not many people even know where South Dakota is.
No, I know. I played both towns. I'm just being Alzheimer victim. Yeah, so.
I got out of there when I was 18.
Okay, and where'd you go?
I went to Portland for a couple years.
Which one? There's a port to starboard.
Oh, Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
But I looked like I was 12.
Whoa.
Until I was like 22. So it just like, I went there and it was tough.
I remember when Portland used to be a real, there used to be only one place to play, the Satyricon in the old days.
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
Was in a rough part of town too.
Yeah. Yeah, I lived in a rough part of town. It was cool.
Yeah, people don't know. Portland, I mean, there's buttloads of gigs now and all kinds of stuff, but, man, it used to be pretty bleak in the early 80s.
Yeah.
I remember when Minutemen first played up there. You know Wipers? Greg Sage, right? That was the big band.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
He was at the gig, man, and we were like, whoa. And D-Boom went through the deck. He kept playing, though. He was up to his armpit. Yeah, he busted through the deck, but he kept playing.
Oh, shit.
And then after the gig, we went up. And remember Greg was leaning up against the wall. I guess he had chemo or something. His hair was real wispy. And he was very kind. Wow. I think he lives in Arizona these days. But that was a big deal for us, for Greg of the Wipers. To see it. We love those first three albums he put out. Yeah. So did you get any Portland bands?
No, I didn't. I didn't really start playing a lot of music until I moved to Minneapolis.
Okay. That had a good scene. That's the Hooskers. Yeah, you know, me and D-Boom put out the first Hoosker Du album.
Oh, right.
Land Speed Record, 1981.
Yeah.
They were good buddies. Right. Actually, them doing Zen Arcade is what gave us the idea to do Double Nickels on the Dime. There would have been no Double Nickels without Zen Arcade.
Wow, no kidding.
Yeah, they were good buddies. It wasn't like we were trying to copy them. We were just inspired to go for it. Yeah. So what happened to you in Minneapolis?
I just started playing in as many bands as I could. It was a really good music scene there.
Yep.
Really good underground spaces and people just doing all kinds of weird stuff.
Yep. A lot of good labels and... Yeah,
lots of good labels and a lot of people that just like had never stopped playing music too. So there was a good mix of multi generations. You know,
I think that's important. I think in the old days, they try to lump people together in these kind of generation so and so. That's not the reality. You know, people. It's more complicated than that. It's more connected.
Right.
That's my feeling. It seems like a marketing scam to me. But
yeah, I agree.
And especially with the cultural stuff like art, man, you might be informed by dudes you don't even know their names because you're tripping on some dude who might have been tripping on a dude. And I mean, John Coltrane talked about this when he said music was like a big reservoir. You know, you just don't know about that stuff.
Right.
I would rather. Well, how did you fucking end up meeting Earl?
We met out here when we both kind of moved down to the desert around the same time.
So it was coincidence.
This place has grown a lot. Like, there's a lot more people coming in from LA and stuff now. So,
yeah.
You know, it's a different scene. But maybe now if we both lived in the same town, we wouldn't have met so quickly. But, like, back then it was like there was only a handful of people to chill with. And, you know, we were both playing music and going to each other's stuff. Like, John does a project called General Baby, and, you know, I was doing my solo thing then. And, you know, Spencer's from here, and we were all hanging out. Justin just moved here.
Spencer's actually a desert guy. Okay. Kind of like Brooklyn, New York. Like, who's from Brooklyn, right? There's few people, but not many. And I found that the same way with out in the desert. There's hardly anybody from there. You know, the captain was from there, Frank Zappa.
Right.
Not exactly Joshua Tree, but
right.
They're
definitely. Yeah, I forgot.
I think Mojave. I think the captain lived in Mojave. Yeah.
Yeah.
And all those metal dudes, like, used to do the Jenny.
Josh Homme and Mario Lali, those cats. Yeah, Apple Valley, right?
Yeah.
So, man, if I didn't live in the port here, I think I'd have to live in the. If I was going to be SoCal, I'd have to live in the desert too. I got to record at the Rancho de la Luna for this French thing a couple weeks ago. Maybe 2 years ago, and Dave Katchen from Memphis runs this pad. And he's good people, real good people.
And
I mean, there was a big scorpion on the bed, so that scared me.
they've been around. I think they were here. They were out here a little while before, you know.
That's all right. Yeah, it's their parts. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, March 27, 2024 edition. Wap Peter, so special guests Earl and John from Joy. Hold tight for hour two. March 27, 2024, it's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
I think it's time you let us know if the world is ever made from blood.
rises up to meet you. Iridescent concubine, always feeling fine. Wherefore and where are thou? Towering, towering. Tree and destiny. We wrote a poem. We drew around the outline. We drew around the outline. We wasted all our precious time. It's a recurring theme of mine, of yours, of all of us together.
Thank you.
Wap for Pedro show start off the second hour. Earl Valley doing Autumn Leaves. Ben Salter from Tasmania with Man Oh Man. The Dream Thieves, Snowphonic, Neither Norchestra with Winter Amnesica for Ingram Marshall, Seventh Movement. Then we had the Seventh Mystery of Jones Avenue, Eugene Chadbourne, out of Greensboro, North Carolina. Finally, Earl Valley, Tarantula and Sun. So, you know, you can't copyright a song title because Autumn Leaves is a very title of a very famous standard. But then Tripod right. Jimmy, that had Tom Herman from Pere Ubu, he had a song with the same title. But, man, the chorus was, you got to do what you got to do. You know, it's like something about any kind of routine turns into a rotten habit, you know, a dirty, filthy habit, he says. But, you know, the Autumn Leaves that, you know, Frank Sinatra had a big hit with it, right? It's more of a sentimental trying to think back. So it's trippy about that. When you're writing songs, where do titles come? Are they at the beginning or in the middle or in the end? When does a tune get a title for you?
Well, for the most part, like I'm of the mumble school. Like that's how I write songs or write lyrics to songs. At least I mumble until I have to write lyrics.
Okay. So you don't have like a trove that you reach into. You kind of write on demand.
Well, I do write on demand, but then it becomes something as I edit it. You know, like Autumn Leaves became something to me.
Okay.
You know, as I edited it. You know, it's about like. I use similar like language in some of the like lyrics, but like that's just, I don't know why that is. I just like keep going for the same kind
of thing. That's your way. That's okay.
It's just what pops in, you know. It's what I'm attracted to. I like to write lyrics that I would like to hear the words. Like that's my motive in writing. Songs.
So at the end of the day, it's like,
if I heard this song, would I like it?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. At the end of the day, it's like, man, I'm glad I wrote that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's bitching. And but you're saying it goes through a process. You got to refine it and cut out.
Yeah.
Usually start with too much and probably have to cut out filler.
Yeah, and I think for me, like, it's important, like, to first grab the feeling, you know,
absolutely.
And then the words
absolutely.
come are attracted to the feeling of the song,
right?
Rather than, you know, the song being based off of the subject matter.
Right, right. Sometimes I like to be a little ambiguous, like when in that history lesson part two song, I say we were fucking corn dogs. It ain't just an adjective way; it could be a verb way. Now let's get back to the history lesson part. So you meet John, you both guys, at the time, it was a bleak scene, so it was easy to find fellow musicians. But off air, you were telling me Joy actually is a kind of new band.
Yeah, so I think, like, we played our first show at the Salton Sea.
Mm-hmm.
We played our first show down at Bombay Beaches at the Salton Sea, and that was, I think, almost exactly a year ago, because there was just that party, and that was like a week after we played that show. So, yeah, that was like 1 year.
I mean, that's the first Joy gig. You played with John, though, before that, right?
Yeah. John and I kind of started playing together when we were living together and at my cabin out here.
About how long ago?
Well, actually, before that.
Yeah.
I mean, so when I started to put an album together for my solo stuff, John played on that, Spencer played on that. So we've been collaborators in a lot of ways for up to 8 years now.
Oh, wow. Okay. But the Joy Power Trio is only a year old. Okay.
That's right.
Okay. Here, I want to play Reap the Seeds.
Now it's a quad.
Oh, it is. And you're about to change your name, too.
We got to change the name. We found another Joy in San Diego that wasn't coming up on our radar when we first started. So
you know, there's a Minuteman song called Joy. George Hurley wrote.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I wouldn't shit you. It was our second record. And in fact, we had like a part two. It was called More Joy.
Yeah,
there's joy and more joy. Okay, let's. I want to play Reap the Seeds of Love.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro's show, that chunk of music star with Earl Valley doing Reap the Seeds of Love. Then Malady of Knots with Fifth Day Encounter with Isotropic. And then finally, Earl Valley, Ready to Die. So, now you already knew John, and then you had this idea of making a solo record, so you bring him. How'd you meet Spencer?
Well, Spencer, I mean, we like, it's kind of the same story. We all came together, like,
We all
have
the same health food store.
Yeah, there's a health food
store. That was the magnet? It was the health food store magnet? Okay.
That was. There was a bulletin board. That was, like, pretty much the only
thing. Is that Spencer? Is Spencer there?
Yeah, totally.
Spencer, we got to talk about you. What's your earliest musical memory?
Oh, earliest memory?
Musical, not just memory, but your musical.
Yeah, my aunt would play a lot of records, and her husband at the time played stand-up bass.
Oh, bitchin'. And what was the first record you bought with your own money?
I'm not really sure. My mom had a ton of CDs.
Yeah, but like, when you spend your own money, that's why I asked that question, because you ain't got a lot when you're a kid.
Totally. Like an actual, like a CD or...
Or whatever, cassette. Yeah, it don't matter. Obviously, Watt's old-timey.
Okay. I feel like I probably bought something like Tenacious D.
Ah,
something.
Okay. He's funny, man. Jack Black.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Yeah, yeah. Good cat. And what was first gig you saw?
What was that?
First gig you saw.
Oh, first gig was Ozfest, like 2000.
So a whole bunch of bands. And were you in the marching band or the choir, shit like that at school?
No.
Okay.
I was only in one art class.
And you end up on the drums, right?
No, I played bass.
Oh, you're the bass player. Who's the drummer, John?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, John, you play everything, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Spencer, how'd you get on the bass? I'm a little prejudiced that way.
It kind of just seemed like everybody needed a bass player.
Yes,
and then
yes,
there,
I like that reason.
There was I.
See that? The guy who wants to make it right, right? The baloney seat, right? He's in the baloney seat, right?
Yeah.
You got the two pieces of bread, but you're the fucking baloney. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to hold it down.
What was your first bass?
First base, I borrowed a lot of bases for a very long time. But first base was like this P bass, jazz bass they made for, and that was just a couple years ago because I literally borrowed bases.
That's all right. How'd you learn?
There was instruments around, and I would just play until.
So self-taught.
I was terrible for a long time, yes.
Yeah, but, look at babies. They don't fucking start pulling off. They kind of fall down a few times before they start pulling off. So, were you in bands when you were a kid, like John?
Yeah, in high school, we made some, like, joke bands. And.
Were you working bass then?
Then I was playing, the title was the Dave Chappelle DVD box, but I was playing DVD boxes as percussion.
Ah, so you were a drummer. Okay. That's a trick. Here's the thing that blows my mind. It's all these trippy paths that lead to now, you know? We all come from all these different paths to the now. That's the way it is. It's all right. It's all right. And so you guys all meet at the same health food store there in Joshua Tree.
Yeah.
Not Yucca Valley, though. Not Yucca Valley, right? It wasn't the Dollar General at Yucca Valley. Although I think Joshua Tree has a Dollar General now, or Dollar Tree or some shit.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. We do, yeah.
Okay.
You know, there was this place where we all would get together, too, like, and, like, actually hang out a lot more, the ranch house, the Johnson Ranch, Johnson Ranch? Now I can't even remember what it was called. It was a ranch house, like, right in town. But, like, some of us had studios. John lived there. I lived there for a while. Like, a bunch of people lived there. It's this, like, old, like, horse barn-looking ranch, old apartment.
Yeah, hotel. Basically, this guy was renovating this old motel, and he just let all of us transient weirdos stay there.
That's very cool of him.
Yeah, it was cool. We had shows in the empty pool and stuff.
He loved music, so.
Yeah. Bitchin'. So, this was more than the health food store. This was more of the magnet.
Yeah, it started to come, you know, it came to there. There were a lot of spots that we hung out, but, like, you know.
You have to get creative out here.
Yeah. No shit. I'm into it, right?
We'd all go camping together at Section 6 before they locked it up and, you know.
Oh, bitch.
Bunch of stuff.
Okay, we got more spiel to do, but it's the end of the second hour, March 27, 2024 edition. Wapigo, so, well, fuck. Special guest Joy, but they ain't going to be called Joy for very much longer, people. Hold tight for hour three. March 27, 2024. It's third hour of the Waffle Pedro Show.
Thank you.
from Pedro's show. Start off the third hour with Joy doing That's My Life. And then we had Scuttling the Space of Time, Slowly, from the Ratchet Orchestra, 2014 out of Montreal, Quebec. David Gerard with His Darkness Is Increased by One, and then Valentine by Joy. Now, we got the fourth member, who was actually the bass man when I played with Joy. But now, was he doing keyboards?
No, I'm doing guitar.
You're doing guitar. Okay.
Yeah.
So, God, how many bass players I know that moved from guitar? Well, how many, in the old days, there was a lot of guitar players that moved over to bass because that's where the work was. Carol Kay, Joe Osborne, some really great bass players start off as guitars. So I'm going to ask you what I asked those cats. What's your earliest musical memory?
My cousin playing guitar sitting on his amp.
God, everybody's...
And I was like six or something.
Something about living out in the desert. Your earliest memory is somebody playing guitar. Okay.
Yeah. Well, at the time, I grew up in Pennsylvania, actually, near Philadelphia, so...
Okay. Good town. Yeah, John Coltrane bought his mother a house using his GI Bill there. What was the first record you bought with your own money, Justin?
It was the Foo Fighters, There's Nothing Left to Lose, because I think I was like 10 or something.
What was the first gig you saw?
The first gig that I saw?
There's an echo in here. Yeah.
I think it was like The Used or something. Somebody had an extra ticket and I went.
I remember The Used.
Or The Strokes when they first came out. It was.
And then, were you in the marching band or the choir at school?
No, okay. Definitely not.
Just asking. So how did you, what was the first instrument you got into?
It was piano. We had a piano at the house.
Okay, left hand. So did you, when did you get into bass? Or was it just because, was it just because Earl needed you?
Yeah, they needed a bass player.
Okay.
I had the guitar. After piano, it was guitar, and then it was bass.
Okay. But, you know, I think the more shit you play, in fact, if I was like the school czar, I wouldn't let you graduate unless everybody learned drums. And they had to visit a foreign country. Those are my two requirements. You got to learn drums and visit a foreign country.
Yeah, I like that, yeah.
After that, anything else goes. But those two things first.
Yeah.
So, did you have a band when you were a kid, you know, after school, the bedroom band, garage band, basement band?
Yeah, it kind of started around 7th grade, like me and two other friends would pass around like mixtapes and like random songs that we
I'm glad you said mixtapes, because that was such an important thing. That's how you turned and how you got turned on to new shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In particular, it was this Ramones Weezer tape that my friend made.
The Ramones Weezer, cool. Right.
Yeah.
Music's music, right? I remember, I did this gig. Joey had a solo band, and he was. We were talking backstage. He goes, "You know, punk is like a big hay wagon. If you got something, jump on, bring it."
Right.
He was so positive. You know, he's just such. He wasn't jaded at all. You know, I just love that spirit. Beautiful guy. Do you remember the first gig you did with those cats?
We never got to gig.
I was just practice band, yeah.
It was just kind of like a practice thing, and then into high school, that's when I got a Tascam recorder, so after school I would just write songs. I started getting into like Neil Young and other more music from the 60s and 70s. And
I had the 8-track of Harvest.
Yeah.
8-tracks were weird, they'd just go on forever, but they would cut off, you know, each track was actually 2 tracks, right, because it's stereo. So they would take one quarter of the tape, and that's where it would just fade out and cut off. Yeah, it was trippy. But you could play them in your car. They didn't want people to use cassettes because you could make your own mix cassettes. See, when you got a racket going, you don't want to let go of anything. That's what these fuckers are.
Right.
I want to play this by Joy. Greasy. Watch for Pedro show. Last music for this edition. Start off with Joy doing Greasy. The Mechanical Bull with Sights Upon the Mesa. Seb Raddick's Baby Flight from his new record, Leon France. And finally, Get Sick and Die by Joy. This kind of really go together, right? Joy with Get Sick and Die. So now the dilemma is there's a San Diego Joy and you guys got to come up with a new name.
Yeah.
So what are you thinking of?
Well, I'm thinking of a couple. I've got one that I haven't told any of these guys about yet.
We don't have any ideas.
Okay. And these four songs that I played from Joy, where were they recorded?
They were recorded in Grant's cabin.
Really? They sound fucking good.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
John's a really good recording engineer and producer.
Man, it sounds really good. It's just in your cabin, huh? Jesus.
Yeah.
Shows to go you.
Completely off-grid sounds you're hearing there.
Yeah.
I'm into it. I'm way into it. And what is the songwriting process for Joy?
Grant kind of had, a basic song idea, I would say, with some of it, and then...
Does he make, like, a demo tape?
No, we were just... Well, some,
or he just shows you a riff and starts singing over it?
Yeah, a little voice memo style stuff.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But then we'd, be jamming. I mean, we didn't really have the band at the point of, writing some of those. We just, were jamming around, and then...
Yeah.
I was like, oh, what if you did this riff right here?
Yeah.
And then one thing led to another,
Yeah, and we kind of talked about, what we would like to play somewhere down the line,
Well, Spencer told me about him writing songs on his own, and I wonder if, some other cats bring in it, but for Joy, it's more of a collab thing.
Yeah, John and I do a lot of the, writing parts of things, Yeah, and it's good like that, and then we really hash stuff out, once we're all rehearsing and stuff.
And then
what makes sense.
And when it turned into a four piece?
That was probably 6 months ago.
Yeah, probably right after we played with you.
Yeah.
Okay. And what was that about?
Well, I'm not I like playing guitar, don't get me wrong, but I'm definitely not as proficient as some of the moments call for, and it just And John, when we recorded all this stuff, on those demos that we sent you, those have, John added a lot of guitar stuff that, adds so much, and we just kept talking about, looking for somebody to play guitar. But little did we know we were going to have someone that was already in.
You're going to have the bass man move over,
Yeah.
And then you already had a cat lined up that could take that place. Okay.
That's right. Well, actually, we brought Spence in originally with maybe the idea of playing guitar, but it was always Spence's great bass player,
The first four piece?
His main instrument is the guitar, so it just made sense.
Okay. When was the first four piece gig?
Oh, when was that?
You said the first three piece gig was Salt and Sea, right?
Permanent Records.
Permanent.
Yeah. Oh, I know. That used to be the old Cafe Nella, Cypress Park.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. Actually, I like it better now. Man, I hated that stage. I love Dave Travis and shit, but that stage was suck-ass.
They're maniacs. Those guys are doing two shows every night.
Nowadays. Yeah.
Two shows going on at one time, most nights. It's crazy.
Well, you know what? I think, I just played last week in a... Highland Park, and I just think there's a whole bunch of people moving in from out of state, and it's changing things, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they afford the fucking rents, believe me. I don't know how.
Yeah.
Because that's why I heard why a lot of cats moved to the desert. It was way more econo.
Yeah. We just did a generator show last weekend out there by the L.A. River.
Is that right? Okay, Frogtown?
Yeah, over in Frogtown.
Money Mark and the Gilroy
there.
Well, look, You guys are going to record as a four-piece soon, right?
Yeah, we've got some more songs, and we're going to record them with Robert.
When you get an album worth, flow them to me. I'll have you back on the show. We can play it, talk about it all, okay? It was really interesting. I really got to love rapping with you. I'd love to see the four-piece, so let me know when you're playing a little closer than the desert. The desert's like 3 hours from me. Pedro here.
Yeah, we'll set something up in Long Beach or something.
Ah, that would be bitching. Okay.
Yeah.
Keep on keeping on, brothers. People, it's been March 27, 2024. This is what Pedro should keep your powder dry.